Billy, don't you even get me started. There are a few little things that I picked up on that I'm like...
Hello, Addison.
Billy Dukes, we are back at it. I feel like we were just talking about Marshalls, and here we are. Taylor Sheridan is a gratuitous, and I am excited for Dutton Ranch.
Well, Marshalls and Madison and Landman, and now we've had four Taylor Sheridan shows that are right in our wheelhouse, and that doesn't even count shows like Tulsa King, and I guess Lioness, the next season of Lioness is coming. So, yeah, he's been busy.
Well, in this podcast, we're covering all things Dutton Ranch. It premieres on May 14th. And we're going to give you guys a little, you know, 411 on everything you need to know. I'm going to admit right now, we did get screeners ahead of the show. So hold on. Okay. You're right. Let me not put Billy. I receive screeners. So I have seen episodes 1 through 4. I will not be giving any teasers or any spoilers. So Billy really is going into this blind. And I know, Billy, we are going to dive into why you think Beth and Rip moved. There's two country stars confirmed. And then, you know, are there going to be any Yellowstone characters that we're going to see on the show? So we are diving into multiple things ahead of the show's premiere May 14th.
May 15th.
Sorry,
it's actually 15th. On Friday is the premiere. I was making that same mistake, so no worries there. And you kind of skimmed right over it, but yeah, two country stars are a part of this show. We had heard about one in the last week or so, and we'll bring you up to speed, but just yesterday I got a note that said there's going to be another country artist that if you have been following Taylor Sheridan programming, you're already familiar with, and she's going to be part of this show coming up on Friday.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought it was May 14th. It's literally May 14th in my calendar, so I'm glad you said that, so I don't miss out.
Mm-hmm.
What is the poll that you've got simmering on YouTube right now?
Well, first of all, welcome back to everybody who is a regular here. We appreciate you returning for this podcast. Johnny, I can see in the chat, and we certainly welcome you to type questions. If you have theories, comments... If you want to say my theory is stupid, that's your opportunity. We'll take all arrows. I have no problem with any of it. This is an open conversation right there. It's the YouTube chat. So if you're listening later on the audio podcast, unfortunately, you don't have that option. But on YouTube, you can join us live on Tuesdays. And I always start with a poll on the YouTube chat. And this week's was fairly simple. I think Dutton Ranch will be A, the best Yellowstone show ever. B, as good as the best season of Yellowstone. C, Landman strong, or D, I'll watch, but I'm not optimistic. Where would you fall, Addison?
What was the first one again? Like, yay, gung-ho?
The best Yellowstone show ever.
Wait, what was the second then? I think I'm in the middle. I think I'm second option. I don't think it's going to be the best one ever. I really loved the Madison. I really like it.
It's right now it's tied between best ever and as good as the best seasons of Yellowstone, which in my opinion were probably season 3-ish. 2, 3, 4 was pretty good. Started to get a little hairy at the end of 4. Landman, I mean, some people may think Landman is better than Yellowstone, and that's certainly a fair opinion. I personally don't, but I do think Landman's a very good show, and I look forward to watching that for years to come. So weigh in. We'll recap it towards the end of the podcast and see what the conglomerate thing.
Also, not that I have since learned talking from people who've actually worked in the oil field, Landman definitely isn't like, you know, your textbook to all things oil and gas related. But I went to George Strait in Lubbock, Texas, and I sat in my, you know, Papa Jay is an oil and gas law professor. And so the first time ever at 88 years old, I sat in his class. And I will say, because I did watch Landman, he was talking about some things that I was like, oh, yep, I kind of know about. I felt kind of cool until he started going into the weeds of things. And I was like, I no longer have any clue what you're talking about.
Do you have an example that is interesting for our classroom? Or was it all a little bit kind of technical and nerdy? And
it was a little bit of technical and nerdy, talking about like land, like what's in a trust if you sell the land, but grandma owned it and had it in a trust. And anyways, it's a lot of technicalities that I can tell you we probably don't want to cover on this podcast today, but it was very fascinating.
Okay. Well, shout out Papa J,
Papa J.
who I always want to call Papa Smurf. But anyways, lots of big things to get to. We are going to have a trivia today by the end, at the end of the episode as well, which we do for a Dutton Rules merch at the Taste of Country store.
Which honestly, we probably need to make new Dutton Rules merch now that I'm thinking about it. But we can talk about that after all this is said and done. You know, we'll circle back. That just hit me. All righty. How, if we are run down our calendars May 15th, this all goes down. Remind me, Billy, and remind everyone else listening, where do we watch it?
This is a little bit of a thing, right? Because of all the different ways to watch all of these shows. But and this is no less complicated. May 15th, bright and early in the morning, this show is going to break on Paramount Plus, the streaming network. I think you can watch it at like 3 a.m. or 6 a.m. or something like that. First two episodes coming on Friday, May 15th. That night, those same two episodes are going to debut on Paramount Network, which is the cable channel we all watched Yellowstone on originally. That'll start at 8 o'clock Eastern, and you'll get the same two episodes. After that, you'll get one episode each week, I believe. Now, they could throw us a curveball and throw a second one in there. A nine-episode season. This should all time out to end on July 3rd. Kind of strange. I wouldn't be surprised if we do get a double episode so they don't have to end on the 4th of July weekend. Mm-hmm. But the finale right now is lining up to end on July 3rd.
Interesting. All right. Bada bing, bada bing, bada boom.
Not too complicated, but you do have to go find it. Paramount Plus, I think, is the easiest way to do it. I mean, that's, I don't have Paramount Network. I've always watched these shows on either Peacock or Paramount Plus. So probably majority of people may gather it that way. But I anticipate a huge ratings success because they're going to be able to pull numbers from two different platforms.
Well, that's
and
true.
And when they do that, the numbers seem to inflate themselves exponentially, but who might argue with that?
Also, I will say episode one and episode two are, they grabbed me. They kept me interested. And that's easy. That's not easy for me. It's easy for you in this franchise. It's not easy necessarily for me to be hooked. So that's all.
Can
I'm going to
ask a few questions about the episodes without giving, I mean, just like a few specific questions about these episodes without giving away any plot points. I'm just curious about a couple things.
Okay.
Okay, all right, you've watched four episodes.
Yes.
Correct. Is the show, is it good? Are you excited for the for the next five?
I would, if I was not being more or less paid to watch the show, it was not part of my 9-to-5 in a podcast, I would still willingly watch it. And I did not say that about 1883, and I did not say that about just 1883.
Is there, what's the very first image we see?
Lightning.
Oh, lightning. Okay. All right. Oh, interesting, Madison. This is
I'm like, actually, I don't technically know that's the very first image. I watched a lot in a very short period of time.
This is almost like a Yellowstone prop bet, right? Like the first thing we see, you can bet. Is it going to be Rip? Is it going to be Beth? Maybe it's going to be a horse. That's how Yellowstone started. Maybe it could be a horse. Maybe or something, it was, a gun, a maybe, dead body, like all sorts of things it could be with a Taylor Sheridan show.
Wait, crud. Maybe it was Rip. Okay, well, full giving a little bit of color as to why I watched the screeners ahead of time. So this past week, I was able to interview four cast members. I got to talk to Finn Little and Natalie. Let me grab her last name just so I don't. Natalie Alin Lind? Alin Lind? I think I'm saying that correctly. They put her first, middle, and last for her. Who plays? She plays Ariana, and he plays the one and only Carter. So Ariana is Carter's girlfriend or love interest on the show. And then I also talked to Juan Pablo Raba, who plays Joaquin in the show, and then who's kind of like the right hand man to Annette Bening, aka
Beulah Jackson.
Thank you, Beulah Jackson. Yeah. And then I talked to Mark Menchaca, who plays Zachary, who is an inmate turned cowboy on the Dutton Ranch. So I had to obviously do some prep and was able to watch the screeners ahead of time, which is helpful when you go into an interview. And there was obviously, I needed to know some backstories about their characters before asking questions. So just adding a little color as to why I've seen it and Billy has not.
Okay, so Addison has the answers to some of these questions. We're actually going to play a clip of your interview with Carter and Oriana here pretty soon. So you stay with that. We'll roll out more here as the season kind of goes along. There's no reason to spoil it all at once, but I'd like to get to my three theories.
Okay.
My three theories as to why. This is the question for me, right? Like, why are Beth and Rip in South Texas? They're in Rio Paloma, which is a fictional town in South Texas. And I wanted to know what caused them to move from Mont. I don't know that this is the most important question, but I do think it's a question that a lot of people have because they were nestled up pretty nicely in their own little ranch in Montana after the Yellowstone Ranch shut down. It seemed like they were there for life.
And I will say the first two episodes, you're going to, I mean, that's going to be pretty much not tied up with a bow. Well, I guess it will be of, it's just, it's very black and white as to why they had to move. So you won't have a lot of questions there.
All right. So my first theory, they just need a fresh start. The memory of John Dutton is too strong. Beth is struggling. Even strong Beth is struggling to get past that. She's been kind of flirting with Texas since season 4 or season 5 of Yellowstone. We've all kind of watched as she, and they went back and forth a few times. And it seems like a natural place to go if they needed to get out of Montana, just to sort of clear the cobwebs out and get a fresh start.
Okay. My poker face is awesome. All right, no comment. Remember, I need a poker face.
I know. I'm testing your poker face. Question two, they're running from the cops for some reason. The police have figured out what they're up to. And, you know, they've committed a lot of crimes. Really, they should both be in jail for the rest of their lives based on all the crimes they've committed. Maybe someone stumbled across Jamie Dutton's body and Beth needs to get out of town so that she's not under questioning. So they've gone to Rio Paloma to start fresh. Seems reasonable, even though in the age of the internet and Beth being Beth, it doesn't seem like they could live a quiet life, but that seems very possible.
Okay.
You like it? So far, so good. All right.
So far, nothing. I'm liking Addison, these.
Nothing, not cracking a hint of a clue. All right. Number three, this one's a little deeper. And I put this together last week. So if you read any of the editorial on Taste of Country or watched one of our videos, this is kind of a repeat theory. But there is a scene in the trailer, and we'll play that scene in a moment, where Rip is rounding up cattle because there's a huge wildfire burning. Looks like he's frantically trying to round up cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And right along that trailer, or at that point in the trailer, we see one of the bad guys, the people who we believe to be a villain, playing with a lighter, leading us to believe that there was an arson. That dude threw the... But, in downloading photos from the Paramount Express website, I saw this photo here from episode 1. See?
Yes.
That's episode 1. Rip on horseback rounding up something as it looks like a fire is burning. That's way too early for a feud to escalate into some sort of arson. So I'm wondering if for some reason there's a fire on the ranch that has caused, I don't know what would happen, why they wouldn't just rebuild. It seems like that'd be, they're so stubborn, that's what they would naturally want to do. But maybe that is what has pushed them south to Texas.
I think those are all great theories. All very plausible.
Okay.
They're not wildly out there.
If anybody has a theory of their own, please share it in the chat. I'd like to get a little bit of a conversation as to why they might have moved. Now, I think there's some real-world reasons why the show actually moved to Texas. And this is based on a little bit of research. And if anybody reads Puck regularly, Matthew Baloney from Puck has been kind of on top of this. But I think there is a little, this show can't look and seem too much like Yellowstone in a sequel.
Yeah.
Because the agreement that Peacock struck with Paramount to get the streaming rights to it says that they get any Yellowstone sequels. So if Rip and Beth are in Montana, that looks an awful lot like Yellowstone. They move them down to Texas. It feels like a totally different show. And that's one reason, maybe. I mean, maybe there was some tax issues. Sometimes there's tax incentives. Taylor Sheridan obviously loves filming in Texas and supporting his home state. So that could have been another reason. So I think probably the move was for some real-life reasons, but I'm really excited to see how they explain it within the show.
I will also say, yeah, Rio Paloma is not a real town in Texas. It was, after some deep research, it was, most of this was actually filmed in Fort Worth. And I'm like, man, Fort Worth is seeing a lot of, like, when it comes to financial gratuity from all this, of, I mean, that's where Landman was filmed. There, Fort Worth is kind of racking it in when it comes to just, like, filming.
As a Texan.
Yeah.
How excited are you to see Texas things on TV week after week?
Oh, Billy, don't you even get me started. I already have a few things written down for when we actually divulge on the episodes that there are a few little things that I picked up on that I'm like, oh, I love that they used. Anyways, I don't know like how there's just there's a lot of attention to detail and there's little things that I personally picked up on that I miss about Texas that I saw in scenes that I'm really excited to talk about. And it won't be a, it really won't be a large conversation because you're going to go, okay. And all my Texas people listening, you're going to get it. That's all.
You know what, Addison, I'm going to turn over a new leaf this year. I am not going to shut you down once about your passion for Texas. I am going to support you and listen and ask follow-up questions as intelligently as I can. It's a new and kinder Billy Dukes this year.
How cool would it be is if we go to Fort Worth, do a live podcast recording, and then I can show you all the really cool things about Texas, specifically Fort Worth, since it was filmed there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm down. We can maybe hit that really fine restaurant that they stop at in the Madison that you said you went to, or was that Landman? There was
the
a really
place?
High, fancy restaurant that you said you visited.
Oh.
Well, that was Landman. That was Landman. It's where Ainsley stays, like her little dorm situation gets improved. And
yes,
you're like, oh, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, it's a hotel. And let me remind you, Billy, that I walked in with my aunt and uncle. They're the bougie ones in Fort Worth. I walked in with my aunt and uncle. Right. We had a drink there, and then I didn't stay there, okay? Like, get my bouginess correctly.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, so.
Yeah, let's move on.
Theories of your own. And as always, in the chat, but if you're listening later, staff@tasteofcountry.com is the email address. Weekly, we'll respond to questions and answers and comments from the emails as well at the end of the podcasts.
I think that we should get into, like you said, I guess like we both said, I have gotten to interview some of the cast members already, and we're going to kind of disperse that as time goes on. But I think let's play, I think it was really sweet to learn how I had asked Natalie and Finn, you know, the first time meeting each other, and it wasn't the situation and location that I was necessarily expecting. And Finn was really funny in his response to when he actually first met Natalie.
Okay, so the first time I met Finn was at cowboy camp, and he actually thought I was Jai's girlfriend. He had no idea until I got on the horse that I was like playing his love interest.
Yeah, no one really introduced us, and she came up to me and said hi, and I was like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. And then we got on a horse, and I was like, why is she training? I was like, oh, I guess Jai's girlfriend's just, you know, riding around with us. That's cool. And then someone goes, oh, no, that's your, you know, on-screen girlfriend. And I went, oh, fuck, all right. Been more behaved.
Also, I didn't realize he went, oh, F. I couldn't hear that when I was actually talking to him until right now.
He's like, I'm going to have to kiss this girl. Yeah. Jai would be Jai Courtney, who's another cast member.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I forget who that character is on the play, but do they have good chemistry on the show? Like, are you buying the relationship?
I am. And I actually really loved, I think Natalie's personality really surprised me, because Oriana is, and this is not a spoiler, I mean, I think we can see this even from the trailers, Oriana gives young Beth Dutton. And so a little bit rough around the edges really pulls Carter outside of his comfort zone in a rebellious way. And so she just seems a little bit more rough around the edges, a little bit more tough, kind of like Kelly Riley is the sweetest human on the planet. She plays a very rough and tough character. And so you just never know until you're in conversation with these actors and actresses what they're actually like. And I mean, as you just saw in that clip, Natalie is just so disarming, so warm, easy to talk to, and truly a delight.
Are they supposed to be in high school or past high school? Like, what age are they at on the
show? So they are in high school. Carter is, if you remember just of how he even came to be with Rip and Beth, he is in high school. However, he's 19 years old. And
fair.
So, like, yes, in high school, but he is older. He's almost college age. I got confused about that in the beginning. And they, like, he says throughout the first few episodes, like, I'm 19. And that's a little bit made, not made fun of, but they make it very obvious that he's older than what he should be to be in high school.
And in the trailer, we see Oriana. I believe she is the one undressing. So there's never a cute girl on a Taylor Sheridan show that isn't undressing at some point or another. Mm-hmm. So that's probably episode one, I'm guessing, that maybe she... make you wait a little while.
He makes you wait a little bit.
But I'm glad to hear there's much more to that character than just that, because that's always a little bit of the worry, given how, like, Ainsley Norris started, and Michelle Randolph's character on 1923 was a little bit hard to take, didn't have a lot of depth until later on in the show. So it is good to hear that right off the top she brings a little bit more to the page.
Also, I didn't realize that Finn, I think he's English?
Australian.
He got a little accent, and I said, it's always fascinating when they can change that in their dialect on camera.
The character I am most excited to talk about, and this is a fairly long clip, maybe about 30 seconds or so. I believe this woman has to be Beth and Rip's enemy. Her name is Beulah Jackson.
To beautiful, beautiful Texas.
You bought the Edwards Ranch.
It's the Dutton Ranch now.
You met Miss Rhea Paloma herself. She's an acquired taste.
Beulah Jackson from Grizzly and Gucci.
My ranch is 190 years old, and I've worked very hard to protect it.
Rip and Beth have secrets, and people with secrets can be useful, corruptible even.
Well, we need to be careful with this family.
No one understands what we've done to protect this ranch. No one knows what we do.
Where's the fire?
To hold on to it.
Yeah. All right. So a lot of time spent on the Grizzly and Gucci.
That's
as
funny.
She was known. That just looks like a great character. First of all, I love Annette Bening as an actress. I'm a big fan of the movie American Beauty. We know that Jamie's character, Wes Bentley, he played Ricky Fitz in that movie. So they pulled another character from American Beauty. But Annette Bening has been in all sorts of movies. That's by obviously not her only role. But I think she just makes a great villain. I saw an interview with her on CBS this morning. I think it was just this morning, in fact, where she talks a little bit more about her character, and they shared a clip that kind of sets up the Beth and Beulah Jackson feud. Hmm. And it sounds like it has to do with Beth wants Beulah to process her cattle, and Beulah's trying to extort money from her, and it kind of sets them on a wrong path. And from there, I believe it only gets worse. Well, I saw it. It was the clip they showed on CBS.
And I'm reminding myself that this is audio. I winked at Billy.
Yeah, Edison.
Sorry. I should use my words,
wink
not
does
my
not
face.
Make a sound, thankfully.
Billy, when it comes to country music artist, who is, I know Morgan Wade was already announced that she'd be on. We've talked about this, right? Or did
That's
I
right.
just?
Yeah, Morgan Wade is going to play a bartender named Carol. We haven't seen any scenes or previews or clips with her, and she's not really a super well-known artist. She's a little bit more kind of left of mainstream. Right. Really good singer and songwriter. She comes complete with her own sort of story of addiction and stuff. I didn't know she was into acting, but she's going to be on the show. But then you know how Marshalls was bringing like a singer to each episode, like Ashley Cook appeared, and then Adam Sanders was part of an episode. One of this Friday's episodes, Cassidy Daniels, who finished third on The Road last fall, she is going to be on Dutton Ranch. And I'm guessing it's probably in like a same role. They're at a bar and she's playing a guitar because I know she's performing a song. Like, this seems to be the way to kind of shoehorn in country artists that the production crew likes. And I'm all for it.
I can't answer where you're going to see her, but Thank you. That's why she looks so familiar. I literally, that scene happened, and I'm looking at the screen going, okay, I know, why do I know you? Why do I know you? Why do I know you? That's why I know her. Cool.
Yeah. What's the song called? I forget what the song's called. I loved her on The Road. She was like a breakthrough character to me. In fact, I thought she could win the whole thing. Adam Sanders ended up winning. But I'm really excited to see she's got some new music coming in. And that, you know, the CBS and this whole production crew is kind of remembering her after that reality show, because that doesn't happen very often with a lot of reality shows like The Voice and American Idol.
Mm-hmm. I'm also really looking forward to just seeing, I know Mark Menchaca is a very well-known actor. Like, he's definitely played in a lot of things, but I've personally never watched anything he's played in. And I'm excited to see his character and how he mixes in with Rip and the other ranch hands.
Is he
Cowboys
team Rip or is he team Beulah?
Rip.
Okay. Here's who I'm curious about, and I haven't figured out Ed Harris's character, Everett.
Yes.
Some of the scenes, it appears that he's team Beth and Rip.
Yeah.
Like, he appears to be very sympathetic to their fight and calls, you know, he doesn't insult Beulah Jackson, but he just says she can be a lot to handle. But then there's other scenes where they're together, and I even thought I kind of read something where maybe they're a love interest of some sort, or maybe there's something going on there. So I can't figure out which side of the fence Dr. Everett plays on.
What can I say? Like, I don't know what I can or cannot say.
This whole podcast is me trying to get Addison to blow the spill secret.
I know. I would say after watching 4 episodes, I went in thinking one thing. And by the end of episode 4, I'm now a little leery of which direction I feel.
Okay.
Of what side he's on. So I think
that's another great actor, obviously. Ed Harris has been in a ton of movies.
So good.
Plays a he's described as being like kind-hearted, and he's a veterinarian. He's a war vet.
Yeah.
So it leads me to believe he's like Rip's kind of guy. But then I see him kind of prancing around with Beulah, and I'm like, ooh, don't really like that.
Same.
Great cast. Any other characters we need to mention? I guess. Go ahead and answer that question first. I got a follow up.
Joaquin is Beulah Jackson's right hand man, but we also learned that. Actually, I don't know.
Oh.
Well, do we know his relation to her? Am I allowed to say that?
I know. On this show, she has a son who is trouble. That is out there. Annette Bening talks about that, or one of the interviews talked about Annette Bening having a son who's in some trouble. Is that Joaquin?
No, she has 2 sons, Rob Will and then Joaquin. Will disappears pretty quickly, but Joaquin is kind of like the guy that they focus on. Not disappears, but like they focus on Joaquin. And after interviewing Juan Pablo, I think he just goes by Juan, I liked him. I don't like him on the show. But when I was talking to him, I'm like, man, I kind of want to hate you, but I can't. You're funny. Like, you're nice. Dang it.
In the trailer, there's that scene with the hand coming out of the dirt that Rip comes across. Do we figure out whose hand that is?
We sure do. Pretty quickly.
We do. All right. Looking forward to that as well.
Let me
ask you this question. Do you think there's any chance that one of the bunkhouse characters, a cowboy or a ranch hand from Yellowstone, could wander their way on to Dutton Ranch either this season or next? Yeah, who do you like? Who do you think it could be?
Walker. He doesn't appear. I'll tell you, he doesn't appear. But I Walker.
I was thinking Teeter.
I think Walker comes.
Why
back.
Why Walker?
Billy, you can't ask me that. I have reasons to believe it's Walker. I just have reasons to believe it's Walker.
What about Lloyd?
No, I just believe it's Walker.
I mean, there could be more than one, right? Yeah. I mean, they could come kind of weaving out. There's no reason to believe that Ryan and Lainey Wilson's character might not come, you know, by for a tour stop.
They're not going to, but I wish they would. I think Hassie Harrison, what was her character?
Laramie,
because didn't she date Walker?
Yes.
Yeah. I could see them coming back. I don't see Teeter coming back. I think she's done.
I don't see Hassie Harrison coming back because she's on that new Baywatch reboot. And it would just be way too much of a messing with your mind if she's going from like Baywatch lifeguard to like her barrel riding persona. Like that would be... I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. I think it could. We'll decide who's right.
She shows up in the Baywatch bathing suit.
I don't think anyone would hate that.
It'd be a little out of place, though, in Rhea Paloma. I bet you the grizzly of in Gucci would hate that.
Yeah, that's true. It wouldn't be on brand. Better not be Ryan. I want Ryan and Abby to be happily ever after.
Abby is Lainey Wilson's character.
Well,
Ian Owen plays Ryan.
Yeah, and Lainey Wilson plays Abby. I mean, what if they both came back? I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, but that, yeah. All right, anyways.
Yeah, anyways, that girl's booked and busy. Okay, Billy, you've been keeping up with the Marshalls update. I sure have not. I stopped watching once we stopped talking about it. My mom watches, though. I mean, we should have Shelley Hager on the podcast, but I don't.
Well, I don't want to say that I've watched every episode, but I've watched here or there. I am curious to know what people think of this show. Like, I never really thought it would. There was a lot of criticism for it, and I thought that criticism was in part because people expected a show like Yellowstone and that kind of drama, and frankly, that kind of quality. I believed that this was a network television show, and it was going to look a lot more like a SEALs or SWAT or one of those kind of programs, and that's absolutely what it's turned out to be. But the episodes I've seen they've held my interest. I thought they were decent, and I enjoyed the tie-ins to Yellowstone as well, and that kind of reached a new level this past week when Luke Grimes' character, Casey, is forced to reveal to his teammate, Cal, that the train station is indeed real, and the Duttons have been dropping their bodies there for all these decades. So now that secret's kind of cat out of the bag a little
bit. Ooh, that's spicy.
Where it goes from there, I'm not totally certain. It seems like the shows kind of flirt with each other a little bit. I even saw Kelly Riley say, like, someone asked her if there could be like a Marshalls and Dutton Ranch crossover, and she was just kind of like, I don't know, maybe. You know, that'd be weird to me. I hope that doesn't happen, but I like that they're kind of mentioning each other. Like, Casey is mentioning Rip, and they're like, Beth, at some point, I think she should have like a phone call or something with Casey. Like, you know, siblings would.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, they're the only ones left of the whole bunch. It seems like they check in on Father's Day or important holidays or something.
You know the character I really just care about knowing about?
Tell me.
Riley Green's character. What's his name again?
I care about him deeply, I can tell. Garrett.
Yeah.
Garrett. Double G. I don't remember what the other G is for. He played a teammate, a former Navy SEAL, was on the same squad as Casey Dutton, and kind of rambled back onto the ranch this past season. Bad news for you there, Addison. Double G Garrett, RIP. He was killed off Marshalls this past week.
That cameo did not last long. Dang. Okay.
4 or 5 episodes.
He's busy. He's booked and busy. He's got other things.
And he's going to be Riley Green's going to be a coach on The Voice here this coming fall, which is unexpected.
I did see that. Once again, booked and busy.
Well, you've been busy too. Addison, actually, and we weren't able to bring this to the podcast, but if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, you saw that Addison was able to spend about a good half hour with Luke Grimes.
Oh, yeah.
He released a new album called Redbird last month, I believe, and we played back about 25 minutes of that interview. What was that like? I mean, you were one-on-one in person with Luke Grimes.
Well, first, I want to start off with, what a way to come in and very disarm himself. He came in with his lunch and he was like, I'm so hungry. Are you okay if I eat before this interview? Which I love that type of thing of creating a very personable, real life, you know, human to human interaction. So I was like, absolutely sure. So we already entered the interview on a great note, but I really appreciated, he was really vulnerable. I mean, we touched on everything from you know, a song he has about his father. And I asked him, you know, does he feel like there were any loose ends to that relationship. And we dove into that. And we even talked about his son and fatherhood. And I just really appreciated, he has a very disarming presence and is okay to get real. And you just never know if someone's okay with that. And it's okay if they're not, but Luke definitely was. And two, just hearing also how people have come to really love Luke Grimes and Casey Dutton, and how sometimes that can, we talked in a more playful way about him at the airport. He has quite the get up now, because people will come up to him and, you know, really treat him almost like Casey Dutton. And he has to remind people, I'm not Casey Dutton, but also equally understands, you know, when people fall in love with a character, what that means in real life when they interact with you. And yeah, I mean, I really recommend y'all watching it on our YouTube channel, Taste of Country. You can go up to the search bar and type in Luke Grimes. And it's definitely, if you wanted to see a more personable side to Luke, I just really was honored that he entrusted me with just stuff he shared and stories. And it was really a delight.
He really did open up. Mm-hmm. He's a pretty private person, but you got him to talk quite a bit about his late father and his son, who I know him and his wife try to protect his privacy as best they can. I mean, they live in Montana. How can you be more private than that, right? Mm-hmm. We had to ask him about Riley Green's role on the show, and he shared quite a bit about how not only they met, but how Riley got this part.
During the write, he was talking about wanting to act, and that's when, like, Marshall's was sort of coming together, and I was like, dude, maybe you could be on my show. I could, you know, probably help make that happen at this point. I brought up the idea to my showrunner. He wrote him a part, but then kind of the weird thing was that people in Hollywood don't tend to know country musicians as well, you know, so they made him audition, which I thought was really funny.
Really? Okay.
It's like, this guy's a superstar, guys. I think you should just give him the part that was written for him. And they wanted him to audition. So I auditioned with him. So somewhere out there is an audition tape of me and Riley Green getting him a part in Marshall's.
Stop.
But he was great. And I think, honestly, he would have gotten it anyway, because he was that good at his first ever audition tape. So
I think they have a pretty good friendship. They mentioned writing a song. Mm-hmm. They apparently have written a song together. I'm not sure for whose album, but there's a musical friendship that goes with all of that as well, which is pretty cool. I'm not sure exactly what they have in common other than wanting to act in country music, but that is clearly enough.
Yeah, did you get the part where I said, yeah, you guys could do a duet? And then I quickly realized, I was like, men don't do duets. They do collabs. Did you not hear that part?
And I did hear that, and I didn't have any issue with the duet. I feel like if two men are singing together, they're doing a duet, are they not?
I feel like they call it more of a collab, because then we started joking. He was like, oh, we're going to do a duet. That's cute. I'll tell Riley after this. I don't think you call it a duet. I think it's a collab. Anyways.
I feel like maybe in like the 1990s, maybe you stayed away from that.
All that went through my head.
2026, Addison. I think it's okay to.
All that went through my head. Well, Luke Grimes and I were on the same wavelength. All that went through my head was like, please text Riley Green after this. And if you could use my first and last name, that would be great.
That would be pretty good. He was good on the show, by the way. I did see some of his scenes, and I thought he did a nice job. And people. Well, now granted, we're a little bit of a hometown audience, but Taste of Country subscribers also appreciated Riley Green's role on Marshall's.
All right. I'm sure people might be wondering, with Dutton Ranch starting up on Friday, what is, Billy, if you don't mind sharing with everyone, what does this look like for Dutton Rules, our podcast, kind of what people can expect for our YouTube channel? All the fun stuff.
So I've toyed with this idea a lot, whether to move us off of our favorite time slot here. And in the end, I decided not to. I want to stick with Tuesday at 2:00 for the live podcast. And so that means the focus is probably going to be previewing the next episode of Dutton Ranch, not so much talking about last week's episode. Now, granted, we're going to talk about last week's as well, and we'll use some clips, but it'll be a little bit more focused on what we think might happen coming up in future weeks. Mm-hmm. I still want to get a recap in there as well, though. So on Fridays or Saturdays, we'll do a 6 to 12 minute long video, fully produced video, not live, kind of breaking down what happened on the past week's Dutton Ranch for people to kind of chew on and interact with. And we've been doing that for years as well. The recap videos and breakdowns that we do are pretty popular. So we're going to go, I don't know for sure if we'll do Friday or Saturday with those recaps. I think we'll just kind of wait and see how things play out. But then Tuesday for the podcast.
Boom. I do want to encourage, if anyone in the chat right now has any questions, whether about our interview with Luke, our interview with any of the other cast members, Dutton Ranch, maybe Dutton Ranch specific, since this is mainly that podcast for it. But yeah, comment below. We can get those cracking.
A lot of our regulars have found us once again. Sims717 is there. We see Johnny. I also see, let's see here, Noom. JJ has joined us. James is in. Appreciate you guys kind of being regular listeners to this podcast, or viewers of the podcast here on the YouTube. Of course, we're available at the streaming platforms as well, the podcast platforms. You can find us.
I agree. And don't forget, I haven't said this in a minute, but we kindly appreciate, or we greatly appreciate, ratings, reviews. Share this with a friend, please.
Yeah, just giving a thumbs up goes a long ways.
It really does. Alrighty, Billy, kind of wrapping things up. Oh, just kidding. Corvette in Classic Cars says, do you think Carter will be a badass? That first, and then I'm going to answer it.
I do not think Carter will be a badass. I think Carter is just going to be chill. I think he's going to get into trouble. And in fact, my theory is that he gets hurt somehow, because there's a scene in the trailer where Oriana is in trauma. Mm-hmm. Like, she's screaming and in panic. So my theory is that something happens to him.
I'm also going to say that I agree with that. I think something's going to happen to him just from our trailer breakdown that we've done. And then, I think Carter's always going to be Carter. I don't think he's going to turn into a badass, but I think he's going to get into trouble.
He's not Rip Jr. by any stretch of the imagination.
No. I think he's going to try to be rebellious, and it's going to kind of just bite him in the butt consistently.
Yeah.
But Oriana, I think she's a Beth Jr. For
sure. She's trouble. Okay.
Fair. Yeah, she's trouble.
Trivia this week for one of our Dutton Rules t-shirts at tasteofcountrystore.com. We'll choose one correct answer that's emailed to us, staff@tasteofcountry.com. You can also drop the correct answer in the comment section of this video, not just the chat. You actually have to leave a comment to be qualified for that. And I think this one is actually pretty easy. It involves a woman that Addison spoke with earlier this week. Natalie Allen Lind plays Carter's girlfriend, Oriana, on Dutton Ranch. She played another famous girlfriend previously on a very different type of television show. Which show was it? Do you know Addison?
No, but I literally looked at her IMBD, so I'm going, oh no.
It was on television for like 10 years. She was involved with most of the seasons. She wasn't a main character, but she was a heavily reoccurring guest character on this show. I mean, it's easy. You can really literally Wikipedia it and you'll find it pretty quickly. But staff@tasteofcountry.com if you want to answer that question. Or just shoot us another question or comment or, whatever you need.
All right. Well, I'm going to wrap this up here. Thank you guys again for listening. staff@tasteofcountry.com is where, like Billy just said, you can leave the trivia answer, any questions, any thoughts, any excitement, all the things. But the Dutton Rules, the Dutton Rules Yellowstone Franchise Podcast is another exclusive worthy Townsquare Media podcast.
See ya.